Okay, good morning, everybody. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayeshev. There's a question I heard last night. I think I've heard it before in the past. Last night I had the privilege, the unfortunate privilege of going to hear Hespedim and Divrei Hisoris about Rebbe Tzin Kaplan last night from her husband, Rebbe Nissen Kaplan Shlita, and from two of the greatest of our generation, Rebbe Asher Weiss Shlita, and Rav Chevron, Rav David Cohen. Those are the three speakers. So Rav Kaplan spoke about a question that people should have in this week's Parsha. In next week's Parsha, Paro has two dreams, and Yosef, when he interprets the dream, says, because you had two dreams, so it's going to come speedily. So in next week's dream, we know the dream about the stalks of wheat, and we know about the cows. And sure enough, there were two dreams, and right after the dreams, it happened soon afterwards. In this week's parasha, Yosef seems to have two dreams, and it takes many, many years for them to come to fruition. Why is it that two dreams, and they don't happen right away as it does in the next week's parasha? So I think I looked it up. I think I heard him say the Das Kane Balitosos, but I think it's another pirush that says they weren't two dreams. Yosef didn't have two dreams. Yosef didn't have one dream twice. He had two totally separate dreams, and there's a very distinct difference between the dreams. The distinct difference is in the pasuk of the Alumim, the sheaves of wheat. What happens? Who are they bound down to? Says the pasuk. Right, I'm just going to quote it here directly. Right, his stalk of wheat is standing there. Your stalks of wheat were bound down to my stalk of wheat, right? But in the second dream, right, what the sun and the moon and the stars, who are they bound down to? They're bound down to me. The lesson of the pasuk is. Right, so it's two totally separate dreams. In the first dream, the stalks are bowing down to his stalk, but not him. And in the second dream, they're bowing down to him. So the explanation that's given is, why is that? Because the first time the brothers came down and bowed down to Yosef, they didn't know it was Yosef. It was just the mashbir. It was the guy who was giving out the food. They didn't know it was Yosef. It happened to have been Yosef, but it didn't really make a difference. It wasn't. As far as they were concerned, it was the guy who was giving them the food. But in the second time, they bowed down to him with Yaakov. They're with them. They knew they were bowing down to him. That's obviously a stark difference, and that's why they're two separate dreams. But the Beis Halevi points out something fascinating. Beis Halevi points out that in the first dream, the reaction was sinner, was hatred. Right? As it says in the Pasuk, Yisifa Oats, no, so. Right? That was the reaction to the first dream. The second dream, the reaction was Vayikanu Bo Echov. The brothers became jealous. The brothers became jealous of Yosef in the second dream. And the Beis Halevi says there's a very big difference between Sinna and Kinna. Sinna is, I hate that guy. It's a lower level of Sinna, right? But the second dream, Kinna, is a higher level of hatred. My mom is jealous of the person. And the Beis Halevi explains Pshat. He says, the first dream represented the gashmius of Yosef. They hated him, yeah, they didn't really enjoy the fact that they were going to have to be financially dependent upon this guy, the Masper, upon Yosef. It was a hatred, it was more of a big deal. Like, just because he has more money, yes, we hate him, we despise that idea that he has more money than me, but he's not a bigger tzaddik than me, he is not smarter than I am, okay, he's got more money, big deal. But when it came to the second dream, where they're bowing down to Yosef, that means, and the way he it's quoted here from the Beis Halevi, he's greater than us in Ruchnius, right? And in Shemayim, like in a more spiritual sense, his whole mahus, his whole essence, Yosef is a greater person, more accomplished. That created Kina. That created a much greater intense feeling of jealousy for the brothers. So what do you see from here? You see that what does it mean to be a great person? Just because a person is good in terms of his gashmius, the Seder, so we hate him. Yeah, we don't like it. We'd rather be that guy. Okay, that's a sinner. But real kina, real greatness, is in ruchnis. That's what you take out. That's what you take out of this. And that's what Nissen Cameron was talking about in terms of this. The message that you see from this idea from the Beis Halevi, that real greatness is not if a guy has a lot of money. Real greatness is he's an outstanding person. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's got great midos. He's Ish Kadosh. Baruch Hashem, last Shabbos we had the schus to meet so many great people, and the messages that they gave over, unbelievable. But you know what? You hear people like you see this the glow. Let's say of Goliath Shlita, his glow and his excitement and how chashev he is. Mind you, I just tell you a story that's written in Aleinu Shabbach, which everybody here likes. Baruch Hashem. And my son, I feel bad. He wasn't feeling well last Shabbos. Friday night, he was able to come to Zilbershim, but then he had strep, and he didn't come to Rav Goliath. He wanted to see Rav Goliath so badly because there's a story, and I think you guys can imagine the story. You can understand the perspective. Rav Goliath, unfortunately, a number of years ago, was hit by a car. And Baruch Hashem, he recovered. He was fine. I don't know, maybe he broke his leg. I'm not sure exactly what the story was, but the way they tell the story in a beautiful way, he's like he gets hit by a car, and like a policeman comes over to him, and he says, "How can I help you? How can I help you?" And Rav Goliath, like with his big smile, says, "Oh, you can start keeping Shabbos. That'll be a schus for me. You can start keeping Shabbos." And apparently, people that saw it, they were so blown away. But this is the guy is like bleeding, his leg is broken, whatever it is. And this is what he's thinking about, you know, Shmir Shabbos, Kiddush Hashem. And apparently, a couple like saw that reaction. They followed up. They said, "Who is this malach? Who is this angel who would say such a thing?" And they went to the hospital to visit him. And whatever, they developed a relationship, whatever. The point is that these great people, how did they become great? Did you see the amount of people that are seeking his advice and seeking his bracha? Where did it come from? It came from his hasmada. It came from his life. And the truth is, it's funny, I was staying right next door. So I said to the guy, I swapped apartments with the family. They stayed in my apartment in Yerushalayim, and I stayed in their apartment. But across the hall is a guy from England. So he's been living there 30 years in the same place. Now, on that spot, first of all, Rav Goliath is there. Rav Nissen Karelitz Zatzal used to live across the street. Rav Chaim Feinstein, it's another great Rosh Yeshiva, the son of Rav Michal Feinstein, lives across the street. I'm like, wow, you mamash like live amongst the Golem. And you've been living here 30 years. What was Rav Goliath like 30 years ago? I imagine he's, let's say, 70. So he's like 40 years old, and he was a younger person. Like, what was he like? He's like, his whole life he's Mikol Aleph. It was his whole heart. You see his everything he does with the whole heart. Everything with gusto. Everything with the Lev Shalem. You see how he greets people? Unbelievable. There were Gdolim that came to visit him. There were groups that came to visit him. What's the pshat? Well, how did he get to that? Because his whole life was Ruchnias. His whole life was Mikol Lev. How does a person get hit by a car and say the only thing he cares about, oh, maybe you can want to start keeping Shabbos. That's how you can help me? And that's how you achieve greatness. If your focus is on ruchnius, your focus is on becoming a greater person, a greater mentor, a greater Eved Hashem, that's how you can achieve greatness. Of course, obviously the message over here is through the kinna and the sinna. But what's real greatness? Real greatness is ruchnius. Not being able to give out food to the people that are coming to Mitzrayim. That being said, so Rav Nissen Kaplan Shlita told over two stories about his wife. Now his wife was, the stories about her are just unbelievable. And the Russian wife basically spoke, just to summarize a little bit, she came from Gedolei Olam. Her father, Rav Avraham Gurovitz Shlita, who's a big Rosh Yeshiva Gate Set. Her grandfather was Rosh Yeshiva Lev Gurovitz. Her grandfather, her great-grandfather, on the other side of Eli Lopian. Right? Greatness. But she was so normal, and that's what these are the words of Rosh Hashanah, so normal, and such a nivus. And he quoted a pasuk in Tehillim, Medalaga Harim, Mekabez Ala Gvos. So the Harim, the mountains are like the Avos, they do the Melchama. But the Gvos, the valleys, are the Imahos, their Mahus is humility. She was so normal, Bachrim came to her house, they used to have 10 guys over all the time. And also there's articles about her in her work. I don't know if I quoted this before, there's a woman that she worked with, a more modern person. And she thought she was like her best friend. She knew everything about her. Yeah, she knew her husband was a Rav. She didn't realize her husband was a big Rosh Hashiva. She didn't realize, you know, she didn't realize she came from greatness. She thought she was a regular person. I mean, her Mila was as great as she was. And the stories are you know, there are an unlimited amount of great stories about her. But she was normal. She had humility. That was the greatness. But let me just tell you two stories that Rav Nissen Kaplan said over in terms of her Chashivas HaTorah, which is really what accomplishes greatness. He said to her when they were dating, he'd gone out to England, and he said, "Listen, I know you want Kavodat Torah, but and you want me to sit and learn, that's beautiful. And you know, you came from a house of Rosh Yeshiva, Beseder. But would you? Are you so l'shem shemayim? Are you saying l'shem shemayim that if I never put out and never read any svarim and every time I get sure I just sit and learn in our house, you'd be satisfied? And she said, yes. And he made a joke about himself, but I know that that won't happen, so I'll help you out. Meaning he had the personality to be a giver, a marbitzer, or a teacher. But the answer to the question was yes. Whatever is Hashem Shemayim, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And actually, interesting, now I'm just segueing to Rav Dov Cohen Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, and says, how can a person go and laugh on the last day, which Baruch Hashem, she only cried once, like throughout the whole ordeal, many years of being sick. Because he quoted Shari Shur Ben Yonah, when a person does his tafkud, when a person understands what he's doing in this world, what is our job in this world? Our job is to be Mekad Hashem Shemayim. Whether you're in yeshiva, whether you happen to be in college or at work, whatever it is, our job is Mekad Hashem Shemayim. That's our overall tafkud. Our focus has to be ruchnias. Of course we may have to go to college. Of course we may have to go to work for a number of hours a day. Of course. But what's our focus? What's our moods? Our moods are ruchnias. The sin that the brothers had, for the fact that he gave out the food for the gashmias, big deal. What was the real godless of Yosef when he became Yosef? First of all, the fact that he reached those heights of ruchnias in terms of the fact that he was able to withstand the temptations of Eretz Yisrael. So the number one story was, she said to him, yes, I'd be willing to be married to somebody if all he does is sit and learn and nobody knows about him. That's story number one. Story number two, he said, was that on Chol Mod Pesach, he looked it up 6.5 years ago, that that he said for some reason he had Mekabel on himself to learn to make a Sima Masech Shabbos or something like that. And even though it was Chol Mod Pesach, and usually you spend time with the kids, he said, you know what, I'm going into my room for a few hours, and I'm going to finish Masech Shabbos. Fine. So he heard, noises, the kids were busy, whatever, but he sat in the room for a few hours, and he was able to finish Masech Shabbos. 9:10 o'clock, he comes outside, and what does he see? He sees that his parents, who live in Bayit Vegan, he lived in Hernof, are there, some other family, and everybody's there, and she made a big siyum for him. Big siyum. So he said, he saw from here an unbelievable thing. It wasn't like, a little kid, you make a siyum. It showed Kavod HaTorah. That's what this woman's essence was. Honor of Torah. She loved Torah. She loved Torah. And interest, and that's how it manifested itself. To be mechaber her husband, and to let him learn for hours on Chol Hamoed Pesach, and then after that, to make a party. That's what Kavod HaTorah is. That's what a woman's role is. And the truth is, Rav Asher Weiss and Rav David Cohen both pulled over the Gemara. The Gemara, I think it's in Brachas, if I'm not mistaken. The Gemara asks, Noshim Mai Zachim. How do women earn Olam Haba? What do you mean, had a woman, Olam Haba? See, Rosh Rice went through all the mitzvahs, right? When it comes to almost all those assays, they're included. Most mitzvahs assays, they're included. Okay, a few things, mitzvahs they're not. But first of all, Shabbos certainly is kosher, and Yashna v'shomer, and Yashna v'zachor. And so how can the Gemara ask, what are they zeicha? So Rosh Rice explained that what brings you Olam Haba? The main source of Olam Haba is Torah. The way to earn Olam Haba, you can do tons of mitzvahs, no question about it. But real life, real Olam Haba is only earned through Torah. And women are achayv to learn Torah. So how do they do it? They send their kids off to learn, and their husbands, and they wait for and they wait to receive them when they come home. That that's what Rav Asher Weiss explained. That was her godless. And of course she pushed her husband to learn, and of course her children to go learn. And then Rav David Cohen added. And it says over there that what? And you wait them to come home. Wait for them to come home. Wait for them to come home. I'm still watching the Gemara. What does that show? It doesn't show, oh, I was making an effort to take care of the kids. No, if she waits by the door for him to come home, what does that mean? That means she's happy that they went. Right? It's not like, oh, you're busy and this and that. I'm greeting you. I'm showing Simcha Satera. That's what life is. And that's how women are Zoicha, and that's how we're Zoicha. If we go ahead and we dedicate our lives to Limud HaTorah when we can, to Havana, to understanding the Torah, as much as we can, and not to la lumasi, not to our sheaves of wheat. It could be a person, there's nothing wrong with being successful. That's not real godless. Real godless is in Avodas Hashem, and real godless, the greatest godless is in Torah. There's nobody here, and look at what you did last week. So many of you chazer tons and tons of Gemara, tons and tons of Tosis. You should do it more and more, you shouldn't stop. The same, and it'll still be a schus for Caleb. Can you imagine if you got into chazering, you got into knowing Torah through Caleb, and now the rest of the year you say, you know what, I'm chazering every night, I'm going to think in my head, when I go to sleep, what do I think about? Instead of thinking about who knows what, sports, and who knows what else, you know what I'm going to think about? I'm going to think about the Gemara, I'm going to think about the Tosis. Can you imagine how great you can become? That's real godless. There's nothing else. And I'm not telling you not to go to college. I'm not telling you not to go to work. I'm not telling you that. On the contrary, you can do all those things, but you can be great in Torah. That's real greatness. And all of you are shaykhs to reach that greatness. Just a small story that I like telling over, that Shlomo Levinson quotes about this memra, the famous story. It's famous. I don't know if you've heard it before. I've heard it about 100 times. The story about a wealthy guy in America. Okay? And his whole life, he said, you know what? I'm not going to show off. Even though I have plenty of money, I'm not going to buy a fancy car. And I think his wife told him he can't buy a fancy car. They decided together. And one day he wakes up and he says, you know what? I want to buy a fancy car. But his wife said, no, we don't want Ein Haaretz. We don't want Ein Haaretz. People said, oh, this guy has a fancy car. So he went to Rav Steinman's itself. Went to Steinman. And Steinman said to him, his wife said, I don't want him to buy a fancy car because people are going to have jealousy. People are going to be jealous of him. So Rav said, so no, do you know Shas? He said, no. He said, no. Do you know like a Masech the Colt? No. Do you know a Perek? No. I don't know a Perek Colt. He said, don't worry, nobody will be jealous of you. Meaning, real jealousy, no jealousy. Yeah, jealousy if you have a fancy car. Nobody cares. I mean, Ron Leib couldn't understand that, and he's obviously right. Big deal. So a person has a physical possession, big deal. No, a real kin, a real godless. Real godless is only in Limud HaTorah. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us, that we could all do it. And there's another beautiful thing that Rosh Hashanah said. Can you imagine what he said from the Chavetz Chaim? What a huge yisod in life. Chavetz Chaim served Goliath's father Zatzal. He served him. He served him before himself. Why? He doesn't have to go learn? No, the pshat is that everybody has their own chelek. Who knows in Shemayim what's more valuable? Each person. Your chelek is not my chelek, and his chelek is not your chelek. Everybody has a chelek in Torah. That means we're not. There's no comparisons. It's every person for himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us what we have, and we have to do the best we can. And a person has to ask himself: am I trying the best? Am I doing the most that I can? We spoke about this last week, 2 weeks ago, about the guy who left here and then went to medical school, and all of a sudden he could pull all-nighters, and all of a sudden he can concentrate for 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours straight in the middle of the night. Right? I'm not telling people to learn through the night. That's not that wasn't the message. The message is that who knows? You'll never know what you really are capable of doing until you push a little bit more. Push a little bit more. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us the Yad Tzimra to reach greatness, the real greatness of Torah. Have a great Shabbos.